Man, what's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. And I'm your gracious host. I am Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I'm ready to chop up some good game with the family as usual. Now, the phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number to call in, family. And what we're going to do, we're going to take that real quick commercial break. And we will be right back after these very quick messages. So don't you move a muscle, family. Don't go nowhere.
Hey, what's up? This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to UndeniableGame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy-to-follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at UndeniableGame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
Hey, if you want to see a very interesting take on life and entertainment, check out the blogger and the aspiring filmmaker, POV Hilarious D. He has a very interesting look and outtake on life, and the guy is very funny. So go to his YouTube page, go to YouTube, search POV Hilarious D, and subscribe to his page right now on YouTube. Again, that's POV Hilarious D.
Black people are being ethnically cleansed in America, and you're next. The creator of the acclaimed documentary 7AM is back with an explosive new film, Gentrified, Ethnic Cleansing American Style. The American Holocaust won't have gas chambers and ovens. In the 21st century, making it too expensive for you to afford to live is the most humane form of genocide the world has ever witnessed. Go to our website, youwillbemoved.org. That's youwillbemoved.org.
Hey, you guys should check out oneblink.com. OneBlink is the largest online black business link in America, and it's created to give black-owned businesses a place to shine. Their growing database of over 15,000 verified black-owned businesses allow you to search for local businesses in your area with complete ease. So you need to go there right now, network and politic at OneBlink.com. That's the number one, blink.com. Check out this brand new shoe line called Negast Footwear. Now, Negast Footwear is the first black-owned footwear company that caters to our culture. They have some real fly kicks, and you need to cop you a pair right now. You spell the name Negast, N-E-G-A-S-T, and you can get these fly kicks at www.sneakerscustom.com. That's sneakerscustom.com. What's up, family? Let me tell you about this year's best kept secret. That's legendarymix.com. If you're a recording artist, a music producer, and you want to bring your music to legendary status, then go to legendarymix.com. It's rated the number one online music mixing and mastering service. It's the only place you can enjoy radio quality, high quality mix downs, and professional mastering for a great price. If this message ain't for you, then tell a friend about legendarymix.com. Top quality service and fast turnaround time is guaranteed. Subscribe today. Save 10% on your order. Call or text 347-565-5892 or email music@legendarymix.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting Battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Put some respect on my name.
Yo, what's going on, family? We are back. We are back right here on Tariq Radio. I'm your gracious host. This is Tariq Nasheed signing in. And I hope everybody has already gone to the Indiegogo page to support the brand new film that we're working on right now called 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti. People are very excited about this film. The crowdfunding is doing great. We're a little over the halfway mark. We need to take it on over to the top. We're trying to get at 200,000. We're at 108,000 right now. So everybody who's listening right now, after the show, not even after the show, go there now while I'm talking. Go to the Indiegogo page and contribute to that campaign. And if you're listening to the playback, pause the show. Go to 1804movie.com and contribute and be a part of this historic film that's going to be a number one film. This film is going to be hot. It's going to be a number one film all over the world. I can almost guarantee that. We're making this thing very fly. We got some excellent speakers in this thing. I'm going to the UK next week, as a matter of fact. We're going to be filming out there in the UK. We're going global with this thing. All my UK people, hit me up. All my UK folks, all my press people out there in the UK, all my people at the BBC, hit me up because I'll chop up some game with the media folks while I'm out there. I'll only be out there for a couple of days filming, so email me at info@tariqelite.com or kflex4life@yahoo.com, and that's the number 4, kflex, the number 4, life@yahoo.com. All my UK folks, I will be out there next week. I'm not doing a lecture, by the way, because I don't want everybody to start hitting me up trying to buy tickets to a lecture that I'm not doing. I'm just filming out there. I'll be out there for a couple of days doing a little press. So all my press people out there, holla at me. And don't forget, family, to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3, and 4, ladies and gentlemen. So there's a lot of stuff we're going to cover on today's show. Let me get a quick call real quick, just a real quick one. Let me see who's on the phone real quickly, if my phone act right. Hold on.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
What's up, man? Who is this?
This is Maidana from D.C.
Hey, man, what's on your mind, fam?
I was wondering, Hidden Colors 3 and Dr. Clyde Anderson's Power Knowledge book, y'all both mentioned that we should buy out politicians.
Yes.
And I was wondering, does that mean, like, on an individual level, do we go up to the politician, give them money on an individual thing, or do we give our money to one black person to all give it at once? How does that work?
It works by working as a group. You, as a group, give your money to a politician so they can do your bidding. Like, on my Sunday show, we were talking about having PACs and super PACs for politicians to put on their campaign. You got to go in there as a group. Now, you can go in there individually, you know, to kind of save yourself. You're going to get, you know, individual stuff for yourself. You know, there's some people who can, you know, buddy up with politicians. You go to a luncheon or something for a politician and buddy up with them to kind of get some favors later on down the line. You can do it on an individual level. But what we're talking about is doing it on a group level. Aggregating your resources, just like the gay community did by raising millions of dollars to give to Obama. That's why he spoke to their needs. So it's all about aggregating your money on a major level with a certain agenda. And that's one thing we don't do as black people. We don't really have an agenda for ourselves. We try to hold the nuts of everybody else. You dig?
Okay, so I need to form a group first. So I need to form an organization before I, try to collect donations from the people in DC area?
Right. Not even an organization, but just like a pack, like a super pack with an agenda attached to it. You understand? So I want you to start looking into how to create a pack or a super pack where you can get campaign funds legally, because sometimes people will say, I'll do something for a politician and then raise funds and then niggas pocket the money and go to the strip club. You have to do it within the parameters of all the legalities and all that. But
okay, I'm gonna research that. Yeah. I'm gonna research that. But thank you.
Yes.
Hey, tell your girl Sarah. I want to know what she think about the mayor in D.C.
Okay,
but thanks, man.
All right, no problem, man. My man's asking questions for Sarah. I wish he would have called up to Ism Radio when we do it on Tuesday. But that's what we're talking about on today's show, family. We're talking about holding your own nuts. Now, if you listen to the show, you probably heard me use this expression before. Holding your nuts, basically meaning handle your own business. Let everybody else handle their business. Because black people have a bad habit of jumping in front of other groups when they're having issues, trying to represent all these other groups when our shit ain't really right. And when it's time to reciprocate, these other groups turn their backs on us. and they only get down when the block is hot for them. I'm going to touch on that deeper later in the show. There's some other things that I want to touch on today's show. You know, there's a scam that's going on out here where I live in Southern California. I live in SoCal. And I just found out about this scam today because somebody tried to run this scam on me this morning. What's going on in California now, and I had to research to see what the hell is going on, and I see that this is kind of a thing. This has been happening in quite a few cases out here in Southern California. There's like a fake kidnapping scam that's going on out here in California. And what happens is you have people who will call you up randomly claiming that they have a family member and they want you to send them money. And that's the scam. And what they try to do, they try to keep you on the phone so you can wire money very quickly to save a family member. So that's a big scam that's going on out here now. And it's kind of catching momentum. And I just found out about it because this morning I got a call on my phone, on my cell phone, from a block number. So that was real weird because block numbers just don't call me. And not too many people have my number anyway. I'm one of those people. I hate my phone to ring if it's somebody I don't know, because I only like to talk business on my phone. I only like talking business. So if somebody's calling my phone number and I don't know your number, it better be about some business. So I'm going to get very offended. So I'm looking at this block number. So I'm already annoyed by a block number. And this happened at around 10:30 in the morning. So I answer the phone. And it's a female's voice who's sounding very distraught, and she's kind of whispering. She's like, help me. They got me. Help me. Help me. Help me. I'm like, who the fuck is this? Help me. Please help me. I'm like, who the fuck is this? And then a dude got on the phone. Mr. Nasheed, we have your relative. We have your daughter. We have your daughter, and she is kidnapped. This is a kidnapping. I'm like, what the what? And I swear to God, this happened this morning. I'm not making none of this up. This happened this morning. So this East Indian dude got on the phone talking about they kidnapped my daughter. And I know my daughter's at school, and my daughter ain't about to get kidnapped by nobody. My daughter's about that fucking life. So and the person who was just on the phone, I'm like, was that supposed to be my damn daughter? My daughter don't even sound like that. So I'm thinking this. I'm kind of going along with it. And I'm tripping how they know my name and how they know my number. They knew my name and they knew my number. That's the only thing I'm kind of tripping on. Mr. Nasheed, we have your daughter. I say, you got my daughter, really? And then they kind of change the wording up. They're like, we have your loved one. We have your relative. And we want you to give this money. This is a kidnapping. You must give us money right now. I said, okay, where are you? Who are you? I mean, what's going on? How much money do you have? You're going to give money? And I'm listening. I'm like, okay. Are they trying to pass themselves off as like Middle Eastern terrorists or something? Because I'm like, I'm not really afraid of a motherfucker with an Indian accent. You dig? Give me your money. You got money? We got your loved one? And they were making these crazy threats. They're like, we're going to cut off your fingers. We're going to cut her fingers off right now. Give us money. How much money do you have? And I'm like, dude, nigga, if you don't make me some fucking curry goat and some rice and get your fucking ass off this phone, Hakmeed or whoever your name is, then they hung up. Then I called my daughter just in case to make sure she was cool. I'm like, hey, you at school? Yeah, daddy, buy me some shoes. I'm like, all right, you all right? Yeah, whatever. I'm like, let me. She's been begging for shoes all morning ever since I called her. So. So that shit is crazy. And somebody said that's an old scam. I haven't heard of it. And I've been looking at some recent reports that it's been going down out here in California recently a lot. So it's new to me. What's up? Who's calling?
Hi, this is Moses from the UK, from London.
Hey, Moses, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm happy to get through, man. Great, man. First time getting through to the show, man.
Yes, indeed.
Long time listener, man. Love the show.
Man, much
love
respect.
Love the show from the UK. We've got a lot of love for you out here, man.
Oh, yeah, man. I love the UK, too.
Yo, yo, yeah. Have you heard about our race relations officer from the police got shot? He got shot by the police. The police shot our own race relations officer.
A police shot a race relations officer out there?
Yeah, in the UK. Well, we've got a taser. So that's the lucky thing about it. We use tasers instead of real guns. So he got tasered.
Oh, okay. So yeah. He didn't get killed. Good. I'm glad he didn't. Was it a black guy? Or what was the deal?
Yeah, it was a black guy. Yeah, there's a video all over. Yeah, it's mad. He's the race relations. So he's basically trying to help the police have better race relations about black people in the UK. And the police shot him. He didn't even know he was good. So it's crazy, man. White supremacy is just doing a
I gotta look into that. I gotta check that out and chop up game about that when I get out there. But I'm glad they just tased him, because out here we don't get just tased. They execute the shit out of us out here, and it's crazy.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah, it's the saddest thing.
Yes, indeed.
They got him right in his face. He was 63 years old. So,
oh wow.
Hopefully he will survive.
Okay, yeah. I'll check that out, man. But thanks for the call, fam. Man, so hey, you know, white supremacy is global. It's a global thing. Speaking of white supremacy. Did y'all hear about these two white female, it's a white gospel singer and another white pastor. One lady, she's a white pastor. Her name is Paula White. And the other one is Vicky Yoy. I think that's how I'm pronouncing her name. Now, Vicky Yoy is the gospel singer. Her last name is spelled Y-O-H-E. Now, a lot of black folks have heard of these women because from what I understand, Paula White, who's white, her congregation is predominantly black, and Vicky Yoy, you know, she sings gospel. So they sing with that soul dialect. You know, she sounds like a black gospel singer when she sings, and you know, they both have a large black audience. And these women, people are seeing that they are hardcore Trump supporters. And it's very interesting that these two white women have a large black audience, but they support blatant white supremacy, and they have made slick comments before. Well, the Vicky lady has, at least. Now, somebody told me that this Vicky lady, the white gospel singer who sings with a Negro dialect, and that's another thing. I've told people about the white women who take on black dialect. Let me get on that in a second. But this Vicky Yoy chick, she said something slick before about black people voting for Obama. Somebody said back in 06 or something, somebody who follows her said she said something about black people voting for Obama because he was black. So she already made some slick ass comment about Obama. And right then, black folks should have stopped fucking with these broads. So now the Vicky Yoy lady, she put this post up on her Instagram. She put up a post of a picture of a white Jesus with suitcases. And the white Jesus, it was a meme with a white Jesus with suitcases saying, "On my way back to the White House." And she wrote under it, "March all you want, protest all you want. President Donald J. Trump is our president for at least 4 years. No weapon formed against him will prosper. You know what you're doing, something. You know you're doing something right when there's so much opposition." Okay. So these women are suspected white supremacists. That's suspected white supremacist talk. And niggas are so fooled when these suspected white supremacists, white women, come running that white woman magic on you niggas. They come around singing in Negro dialect, mimicking black singers, and black folks flood around them singing and clapping all happy. Oh, look. Oh, white mommy can sing like us. Oh, you better sing, white mommy. You better sing. And she's basically just imitating a black gospel singer. She's not that phenomenal. You got the Clark sisters. You got all types of black female gospel singers that can sing circles around her ass. But y'all self-hate niggas prop her up as if she's doing something special, and she ain't. There's black kids at your church now locally who don't even have a record deal who can sing better than her. But since she's white, that makes it all right. And y'all got to put extras on it, as you Negroes do. You know, she can sing, she can hold a note, but it ain't nothing special other than she's white. But y'all niggas will empty your pockets for white mommy who can sing a little bit, talk in Negro dialect, and come give you hugs and kisses and pray with you. Y'all niggas think you back on the plantation in the big house again. And again, I've talked about white women who take on any type of Negro dialect. I don't trust them. I've said that for 10 years. I do not trust white women who do that. You sing in Negro dialect, you talk in Negro dialect. I just don't trust it. They get into this soul cadence when they're talking and preaching and singing. Fuck out of here. Then y'all ass go run and vote for Trump. Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm not fooled. I don't want to look. Equality ain't you coming down singing, dancing, slumming, and making money off the Negro. That ain't equality. That's not justice. Justice is getting rid of the system of white supremacy, replacing it with justice. And we get lost on that. We think just because these suspected white supremacists come down hugging and kissing us, we think that they're not going to practice white supremacy. We think that they're down. White mommy and white daddy wouldn't hurt a flea. Everything is good with them. You better sing, Miss Biggie. Lord, you can sing, girl. Let me make you some greens when you get off stage. Oh, niggas kill me, man. Every black person who go to their churches or whatever, y'all need to leave this Sunday. Don't go this Sunday. Go find your black church. Black folks are so confused. You got Eddie Long. He done died for some mysterious disease, which people think is AIDS. You got molesting Negroes. You got suspected white supremacist ass female preachers. The answer is economic empowerment, family. And tapping back into those African spiritual systems. That's why I cannot wait for y'all to see this documentary about the Haitian Revolution, where we go in deep talking about the African spiritual systems, which were the ground forces on why that revolution was successful. It was centered around African spirituality. See, all of that stuff, it all intertwined with each other. The military, the smarts, the wit, the strength, the skill, the spirituality, all of that was intertwined. And we're going to get real deep into that in the movie, man. Again, go to 1804movie.com to be a part of this monumental project. But what else is happening, fam? Like I said, today's topic, I'm talking about the concept of holding your own nuts. Now, when I was on The Breakfast Club a couple of weeks ago when I was in New York, I said very specifically what Donald Trump was going to do. I talked about how Donald Trump is going to reverse everything that Obama did. This is race. It's all about race. This is what this whole presidency is about. It's about maintaining white supremacy. He ran on a white supremacist ticket. He was running, catering to a white supremacist base. That's why the alt-right, the Klan, the skinheads, neo-Nazis, all of these white extremist groups were supporting him, because he knew he was representing their interests, and he's producing for these interests right now. When I was on The Breakfast Club, all these Negroes out here, when I was in New York and just doing interviews all over, and not just the people I was interviewing with, but just black people in general, even black people online want to argue me down about all the great things Obama has done for black folks, and you can't really point them out. It's basically, when you talk about what Obama has done for black folks, you talk about a big box of chicken he made for everybody, and we got to eat the crumbs on the back of the box, the crumbs that's left. Like when you eat Popeye's chicken or Church's chicken, there's always some crumbs, big crusts, some cracklings left over. And that's what black folks brag about. We brag about the cracklings left after all the chicken is eaten. And we're told, well, at least the cracklings are a little bit better. The cracklings are a little spicier. The cracklings are much better. The cracklings are better than they were 5 years ago. They got more spices on them. So that's what black folks are celebrating. The cracklings at the bottom of the box. So I'm talking about Obama and everything that's going to be reversed. And I went down the line. When I was on the Breakfast Club, I said, look, they're going to reverse Obamacare. They're going to reverse all the stuff for the gay community that's going to be gone. All the stuff for the Hispanic community that's going to be gone. Then I said, Chicago, it's going down in Chicago. It's going to be military force in Chicago. I said, it's going down in Chicago. This was before the inauguration. Right after Trump got inaugurated, you know, the went right after the health care, reversing Obamacare. They're getting that in motion. He's signing executive orders like this motherfucker signing his autograph. He took down all the gay stuff off the White House website. Took down all the civil rights stuff off the White House website. Took down the Hispanic information off the website. And today, I think I don't know if he signed the executive order, but they're going to move forward with building that wall they've been talking about. They are literally talking about building a wall, and they're talking about moving forward with it. They're about to sign executive orders to keep Mexicans out of the U.S. Illegals, as they say. Every single thing I said started to happen. And also what he said, Trump tweeted, if they don't do something about the crime and all these killings in Chicago, I'm sending in the feds, just like I said. Now, a lot of people are saying this is a violation of the 10th Amendment. This is unconstitutional. Look, white supremacy don't give a shit about the Constitution. White supremacy could care less about the Constitution. This is a white supremacist regime, and they're letting everybody know that it's a white supremacist regime. Now, some of the trolls will say, well, Tariq, you told people not to vote. Why are you talking about Trump? Niggas, if Trump didn't get in office, the brunt of all the shit that he's doing now, everything would be resting on us. It still would have happened to us under Hillary. And the thing is, if Hillary would have gotten in office, understand, these white supremacists are still here. Trump is just the top white supremacist. All the other ones are still here. Understand that. If Trump would have lost, who do you think they were going to take that out on? They were going to start killing black people. They said it. They were like, if Trump lose, we go into the streets. And who you think they were going to target? Let's be very clear. They were going to target us heavy. Anyway, also, the policies were going to target us. Hillary Clinton wasn't going to help us at all. If Hillary would have won, all of the vitriol and hatred and anger and bitterness that all these white supremacists are feeling, it would have fell right down on us, and nobody would have been doing shit. Nobody would have been helping us, just like nobody helped us when Obama allowed all this shit to go down on black people specifically. It was black people repeatedly getting executed out here, and nobody did anything. We were left to hold our own nuts. We're begging and crying and marching and scratching for justice. And nobody really did anything to help us. They did a couple of bullshit marches with us. Because what we've done, we've empowered our ballot, by the way. Because now the shit that's going down with Trump, and it's going down. If we are here in the next 4 years, we can leverage our vote. Now we can say, hey, you see the shit that went down with Trump. Now, what are you going to do for us black people? What are you going to do for us? Let's stop that minority talk. Let's stop that benign neglect policy. What are you going to do for us specifically? Not that what you're going to do for everybody else and we get some too. You're going to have to specifically do something for us. That's why we need to be in the mindset of getting a super PAC and all that shit ready now and an agenda now. And we need to get rid of the coons, because the coons are going to be the main ones trying to sabotage it. But now that Trump is in office and just like I said would happen. All of the vitriol has been distributed. All of the venom and the filth coming from this Nazi-style regime, it's hitting other groups too. And now everybody's all up in arms. Everybody's up in the streets now calling for justice, calling to get rid of Trump. And that's good. Now everybody gets to see how it is to be a nigga. And the thing is, with all these people now, now that Trump is raining terror on not just black folks, we're still the main target, by the way. Let's not get it twisted. But now with the Hispanics, they're being targeted. Women, because he signed, didn't he sign some abortion thing? He signed something or about to sign something that's going to put a halt on some abortions. That's going to sabotage some of these abortions. So the white women, they're getting it too. Women, white women, that's why these women, and these white women voted for him. But the other half, they're out here in the streets. So it's going to target women, the gay community. Shit is targeting them. It's getting bad for them. He's reversing their shit. Also, there's an executive order that I think he's going to do to stop people from Muslim countries coming in. There's about 7 Muslim countries. Some of them are in Africa, where he's signing an order that will temporarily prevent them from getting a visa to get over here. I know a few of the countries are in African countries, and some of them are over in other so-called Middle Eastern countries. And you know what's interesting? When I was on the Brilliant Idiot Show doing my debate with Schultz, that was one of the things he was denying. He was like, oh man, they can't stop anybody. They're not going to stop anybody from coming over here. Because I was talking about how African people are allowed by the white supremacists to come over. And Schultz, his whole argument was, man, they work hard. They work hard and they study and they come over. They're not tokens. I mean, what do you mean they're allowed? They work hard and they study. I'm like, look, they can work hard and study all they want. But if the white supremacists say no, they ain't coming. No, man, who does that? I mean, it was just that white supremacy denial. And Trump, look at what Trump is doing. Certain people from certain African countries, you can't come over. Don't give a fuck how many skills you have, how thorough you are, how hard you worked. The shit that I'm was saying, all of it is coming true. And the thing is, with Obama, when it came to helping us, Obama was hemming and hawing. Oh, I can't do nothing. It's out of my hands. And I said, even on the Breakfast Club, people were like, what could Obama do? And I said, Obama could sign an executive order. And people ignore that. Obama could have signed an executive order. All this stuff about, well, I got to go to Congress. My hands are tied. I got my hands are tied. And dude, he could sign an executive order. You notice Trump has no problem signing executive orders. I think Trump has signed an executive order damn near every day he's been in office this week. You can easily sign an executive order. And Trump just signed this executive order, again, another one, to reverse that thing that Obama did with the Native Americans. The Native Americans, they didn't want that pipeline built on their land because they didn't want their water contaminated. And Obama stopped the corporations from building the pipeline. Trump came in and said, fuck Obama and fuck you Native Americans. Executive order, we're moving forward. So now they're going to move forward with that whole pipeline thing. Now all the Native American groups are looking at the black folks. Hey, come over here and help us. Hold your own nuts. And I've seen a couple of coon niggas running to the Native Americans' defense. And I'm not shitting on Native Americans. I'm just saying hold your own nuts. Hold your own nuts. Ain't nobody caping for us. Why y'all looking over at us now? When shit's getting hot for you, hold your own nuts. We got our shit going on over here. We got some problems. We getting executed over here. Our water's getting contaminated too in Flint. But it's always a nigga who show up with some feathers and war paint on caping for the Native Americans. And another thing with the Native Americans, there's a lot of you Native American tribes out there who have been told by the white supremacists to out the black tribal members, especially the Cherokee. That Cherokee tribe with all those white supremacists, fake $5 ass Indians who ain't real Indians over there, fake fucking Cherokee. You fake ass Cherokee claiming Native American, ain't got one drop of Native American in you. But when the money comes in, you put on your war paint and you go build a teepee in your backyard and then go get a check. And then say, hey, all the blacks are going to have to go. Because their Indian treaties, the Treaty of 1866, that says that the black freedmen were supposed to get the same benefits. Brother Claude Anderson talks about that treaty, and we need to look into that treaty because we're supposed to be getting some of the same things that these Native Americans are getting. We're supposed to get the same thing based on the Treaty of 1866. It's just not being enforced. We never talk about it. We got to start making them enforce these treaties. So say, look, the treaty is either valid or it's not valid. And start going to court on this. But these Native Americans, they'll boot us up out these tribes. But when Trump and the real white supremacists come down, all of a sudden, hey, Black Lives Matter. Oh, all right. But that's the hustle with the Native Americans. You got these Native Americans out here. All the poor Native Americans, the OG Native Americans, the real ones, are living on these poor reservations. But the ones who own the casino, they're looking like Steven Seagal and shit. The lily white ones are the ones who own the casinos. But the thing is, again, Trump is, you know, he's going to put a halt to certain Muslims and all these people coming into the country. And again, even these women's marches, you got a couple of token negresses out here letting these white feminists prop you up as a mascot. They ain't trying to do shit for you, but now they'll prop you up. They're not talking about a black agenda. And that's another thing. I've seen different advocacy groups talk about Trump's racism towards Mexicans. I saw some post today that was going around on Twitter, and they were talking about Trump has been so racist to Mexicans. I'm like, wait a minute. Y'all notice people ignore Trump's racism towards black people. His lifelong racism. His family's racism. Y'all know his dad was a Klan member, allegedly, according to a lot of evidence. Let me say it that way. But Trump has not allegedly been sued. He's definitely been sued for anti-black racism several times over his career. And the white supremacist media kind of ignores that. So they never really go into his racism towards black people. They only get upset when it's racism towards Mexicans, Native Americans, or hatred towards women or gays. They always mention that form of bigotry, but they never talk about his anti-black racism. They put our shit on the back burner. Damn that. Everybody hold your fucking nuts. Hold your own nuts. That's why you let them hold their nuts. We'll hold ours. Don't come propping us up for your agenda. Don't come prop us up to help you stop them from building a pipeline in your reservation. Don't prop us up to have them reverse their abortion laws or whatever the white women are trying to get done. Don't come prop us up and throw a sombrero on some Negroes and have them go out there and protest the wall being built. No, you hold your nuts like you've been doing, and we'll hold ours. Because the shit is getting real with us right now. Because down there in Louisiana, by the way, they just had a new law that they signed. They were already talking that blue law matter bullshit, that blue lives matter law, whatever, which is completely racialized. And down in Louisiana, what they have now, because y'all got to understand this, they got to justify not only locking more black people up, because around the country, crime is down. When Trump gets on TV talking about the crime in the inner cities, the crime, that's Nazi propaganda. The only place where there's an unusual amount of crime is really Chicago. Crime among black people around the country is actually down. That's why they can't point to it. That's why they can only point to Chicago. So in order to justify targeting black people to fill up these jails, there's a reason why when Trump got elected, the prison stocks went up, and a lot of folks, black people, are avoiding crime. Black people are not committing crime, and they need to fill these prisons up. So now what they need to do is criminalize more activity. That's how they fill the jails up. And then they trick us into believing that we're out here acting bad because of some niggas in Chicago, and we're going to be punished because of some niggas in Chicago. So what they're doing down in Louisiana, they are making resisting arrest a felony. If you resist arrest in Louisiana, that is now a felony because it's considered a hate crime. It's considered a hate crime. I'm white and I say so. That's literally I'm white and I say so. And that's the sickness of white supremacy. They can make up a law on utter bullshit and get you on it if you are a non-white person. So resisting arrest, understand this. Resisting arrest is anything the white officer said you did. So if a white officer steps to you as a black person, and this be very clear, this law is going to target black people. That's why they're talking that stop and frisk thing, making a nationwide stop and frisk. So now any interaction you have with a police officer, they're going to make that legal with stop and frisk. That's going to force them or make it legal for them to perfectly step to you and just engage you for any reason. And if you say something that the police officer don't like, well, you just resisted arrest. You just committed a hate crime, which is a felony. So now you're a criminal. So now if I kill you right here, we can't say, well, you are an innocent, unarmed man. You were committing a felony. So I just killed a felon. You see that game that they're playing? Now they can kill you. And on paper, it can make sense. Because now, you know, there's a lot of lawsuits and them, even though these white supremacist race soldiers are not punished for killing you, there's a lot of lawsuits and you got to kind of go by the law a little bit. That's why they cut these little deals so it looks good on paper. When you file it on paper, there's no wrongdoing. The city's settled because if you go to court, you might have to pay more money. So now on paper, these executions can look better. On paper, it reads, okay, well, the police officer engaged the subject with a lawful stop and frisk investigation. The suspect committed a felony. The officer had to draw his weapon because he feared for his life and executed the suspect. Now, on paper, that just sounds like a crazy nigga got shot. But in reality, that means if a cop walks up to you and say, hey, what are you doing over here? And you say, hey, I didn't do nothing. Oh, you're resisting arrest. It's literally that simple. It's just like those vagrancy laws they used to have directly after slavery. Hey, what are you doing standing there? I'm just standing here. Do you have a job? No, nobody's hiring me. I'm just standing here. I don't have anywhere to go. Well, you're a vagrant. I mean, you ain't got nowhere to go. You don't have a job. Well, you're committing a crime. So come on. Let's come on to this chain gang. You're going to work for the chain gang for 5 years. The same thing, family. We've eased into a true to the game Nazi system. So this is why we got to get serious. We got to stop playing the game about being in a system of white supremacy. We got to be very honest about being in that system of white supremacy. We got to be thinking and talking in terms of empowerment. Also, we got to be ready just in case they start talking martial law, which is what they're easing into. And shout out, I've seen brothers out here I've seen videos of brothers doing like training, brothers doing almost like these military exercises to protect their neighborhoods. Because understand, if they start getting into some martial law stuff, all of these random white supremacist militia groups, they can't wait to get started going out here targeting black people. So you, black folks, we need to have our mindset ready to protect ourselves, protect the Constitution. These white supremacists don't give a shit about the Constitution. They could care less about the Constitution. If you want to protect the Constitution, you got to start thinking in terms of building a posse militia. The Constitution says that you can build a militia. A good militia is needed. You need a militia who's going to uphold the Constitution out here, because you have a bunch of white supremacists who are not caring about any kind of human rights laws. And this is another reason why the U.S., they're trying to pull out of the U.N. and the whole shebang so they can get away with stuff. Just like Hitler. Understand, when Hitler was about to do what he had to do, or wanted to do, I won't say had to do, he wanted to exterminate the non-whites, I think he pulled out the League of Nations and all that stuff. So we gotta understand the military mindset. We gotta understand how to operate without fear. This is why everybody need to go. You need to go right now to 1804movie.com. 1804movie.com. There's a reason why we're doing this movie. This movie is going to show you how to have the spiritual system, the economic system, the military system, to uphold the Constitution and protect yourself from tyranny. And everybody needs to get involved with this film. 1804movie.com. Right now, everybody, go to that website. Be a part of this project. This is the most needed project of these times. We're in trying times right now, so we got to get very serious, and we got to start having codes. And this is going to help get you on the code that we need, family. 1804movie.com. That's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Don't forget to go to Izm Radio too. Check out Izm Radio, IZMradio.com, to check out the episodes of Izm with my lovely female co-host, Miss Chris and Miss Sarah. All my UK people, understand I will be out there next week in the UK. We're going to have a good time out there. I'm going to be out there doing some filming. All right, family, y'all have a good day. Y'all have a good evening. Y'all have a good afternoon. And I'm going to holler at you Sunday on Ustream, family. So don't y'all miss that. I'm going to holler.